We're just 3 days away from the beginning of Lent. On Ash Wednesday this week, we'll solemnly begin a campaign of 40 days of penance and fasting. Our annual tithe of devotion to the Lord. 40 days of a calendar year, if you do the math, is about one-tenth of the year. And so in our tradition, the way we prepare for the great solemnity of the Lord's Passover is to do penance and to really intentionally strive to live the Christian life in the way that we should always be living the Christian life. But all of us, to one degree or another, begin through time to be habituated more to the lifestyle of the world. And so the great season of Lent is a time of conversion, penance, and fasting. It's a season of spiritual combat. We've got to bring this back. You and I are the church militant. None of this 1970s, you know, Jesus is there just to pat us on the back and make us feel good. That's not the gospel. We are in a spiritual battle for the salvation of our soul. It's real. And so the season of Lent is a time of intensifying our spiritual combat against the devil, the flesh, and the world. It's a time where we intentionally strive to turn away from sin that we have become habituated to and to grow in a life of Christian virtue, most especially the virtues which our Lord Jesus models for us: obedience, humility, charity, purity of mind and body. So, enjoy your Mardi Gras celebration on Tuesday, feast, and prepare. I myself just got back from a week on the beach in Mexico, where I enjoyed the sun and lots of piña coladas, and I turned off my phone and didn't have to deal with any text messages or emails. It was amazing. Unfortunately, it was all waiting when I came back. But here we are. And our Lord Jesus gives us in our gospel today some really important pointers, and I think they can be valuable for us in preparing to live this Lent well. Right? Because we don't want to wake up on Ash Wednesday and say, "What am I going to do for Lent this year?" Right? We want to be discerning, what is God calling me to do? And perhaps it's more than giving up chocolate. So, the first thing I want to focus on is what our Lord says in the gospel: no disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. That should give us pause. Holiness is nothing more than you and I being conformed by grace to Jesus Christ. The same Holy Spirit that lived in the second person of the Trinity dwells in each of us through our baptism and confirmation. And holiness is us cooperating with the Holy Spirit as we be formed in the virtues of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And yes, our Lord says, fully trained. That means the Christian life is a training. We have to grow. There's seasons of growth. And one of the important ways in which you and I during Lent pattern ourselves after Christ, our divine master, is through mortification. Right? The world says, if you want it, take it. There was a line I read the other day that was fantastic. I think it was Carrie Fisher who said, instant gratification isn't fast enough. I thought, how true is that? But the practice of mortification is about learning self-denial so that we can grow in charity and patience. You know, those little virtues that we constantly bring to the sacrament of confession, right? Father, I was impatient with my spouse again. Okay, this is the goal of the Christian life, is to mortify our senses, our desires, so that we can have mastery over our body, so that our soul can once again live in this state where it's controlling the body and not our body and our carnal passions telling us what we should do. Like an athlete training before they go to the Olympics. That's you and I in the Christian life. And so mortification is putting to death those things in us that cause us to be selfish so that we can grow in conformity to the heart of Christ. Right? And that means learning in our tradition to give up licit pleasures, right? Because obviously we have to give up sin. But we train ourselves through fasting by saying no to legitimate pleasures and learning how to moderate those intakes, because if we can learn how to say no to those things when temptation comes knocking on the door, it's a lot easier because we have trained our will through the influence of grace to be in conformity to God's will. Now, that's the goal. So think about, what's the predominant fault that you have in your life right now? What's the vice? Pride, selfishness, impatience, gluttony, lust, you know, and pattern your Lenten discipline around striving by the help of God's grace and with prayer to rooting that out of your life so that when fully trained, you can be like the teacher. Jesus then goes on to say in the gospel, "Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own?" Ah, that tendency all of us have, to one degree or another, to notice the sin or imperfection in those around us before we notice it within our own hearts. And all of us are guilty of it. You know, it's like when you see your spouse's sins, right? You who live family life, you know that those that you're nearest around, you can really, it's like a magnifying glass. You begin to notice the smallest little things and to get upset about them. That's the place where the Lord Jesus is calling you to practice holiness, to call on Him and to grow in virtue. One helpful way for us to do this is to begin to look at our own sin, to do an examination of conscience on a daily basis, right? To go through the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and see, where have I been faithful and unfaithful to God's law? Where do I need to call on the Holy Spirit to help me grow in virtue, right? Because then we're not so quick to cast a stone at another. But we're looking and realizing, I need God's grace and His mercy in my own life. I have sinned that I need to repent of and really turn to the Lord Jesus and beg His help to help me overcome. Because when that happens, then I can practice charity towards my neighbor. And certainly there is times where we have to call out the sins of others. Jesus isn't asking us to turn a blind eye to sin, but we can never condemn another person. St. John Chrysostom, commenting on this, asks the question, what is the motive of correcting your neighbor? Is the motive because you recognize that the path of sin that they're walking is going to lead them to the fires of hell for eternity? Then in all means, call them on. But if it's only merely self-righteousness of looking down on them from your pedestal, who are you, you know? Well, that's sinful. That's the type of judgment our Lord is condemning in His disciples. But He's not telling us that we should never call out sin, because we have a duty to call out sin and to correct sinners. Because guess what? If people continue down the path of sin, they will spend eternity in hell. And is it loving to let them walk the path towards eternal damnation, or to call them to conversion? To call them to the gospel, the good news of salvation. Lastly, our Lord says, A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of the store of evil produces evil. So that's where in our examination of conscience we want to look at the fruit of our life. Am I constantly bitter, resentful, cynical of others? Or am I living in peace that comes from the Holy Spirit? Am I practicing charity? Because charity is the only legitimate litmus test for holiness. A person isn't holy because of how much time they spend in prayer. A person is holy by how well they love God and they love their neighbor. So we examine, what's the fruit that comes forth from my heart? And a great place to grow in good fruit is through contemplation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus burns with love for sinners and desires that all come to know God's love and be saved. His heart has been pierced by a lance. It beats with divine love for each soul that God has created. So contemplating the Sacred Heart, enthroning the Sacred Heart in your family's homes, getting an image of the Sacred Heart, and the father of the family as the spiritual head, doing the prayers of enthronement, that your family can be consecrated, and that you can give yourself completely over to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to let his love reign in your families, is a beautiful devotion you can do during this Lenten season as a family. St. Ambrose said this, and I'll leave you with this for your reflection. The soul, going forth to war, bears not before her face the likeness of eagle or dragon, but in the cross of Christ and in the name of Jesus, she goes out to battle, strong with this sign, faithful to his standard. Praise be Jesus Christ.